Hello, you are listening to Food for Thought here on Siren 107.3 FM. I'm Charlotte Reed, and each week I find out about local food, restaurants and cafes for you to try out for yourself. This week, in the run-up to Christmas, I went to the Lincolnshire Showground to find out about the local festive food available this season. Also on the show, I tried out the new Wagamamas and will be giving you the verdict on Lincoln's latest restaurant.
On 107.3 FM, this is Siren FM.
It may only be November, but when thinking about Christmas food, you have to start planning these things a bit in advance, as it is one of the main parts of Christmas. So last Saturday, I went to the Lincolnshire Showground to find out more about the local foods available at this time of year. The Christmas Food and Gift Fair was a chance for suppliers to showcase what they have, and myself and Food for Thought regular Sam Perdue wanted to know what Christmas staples Lincolnshire has to offer. We went to find out about the important things, the cheese, the bird, the wine, as well as chocolate and nibbles. To start off with, this is us finding out about Lincolnshire goose and turkey, as well as plum bread.
Richard Bottrell, I come from W.E. Bottrell & Son, and we do geese and turkeys for Christmas.
And so why are you here at the Epic Centre today?
We're here selling our geese and turkeys and also taking orders for Christmas for the free-range birds that we produce.
And so what birds are generally the most popular for Christmas?
The most popular is the turkey. Everyone traditionally thinks of turkey at Christmas. But we're finding a resurgence in goose, which used to be the traditional meat for Christmas.
And why is it becoming popular again, do you think?
People find turkey can sometimes be tasteless and it maybe cook a bit dry, whereas goose, because it's waterfowl, it has fat underneath the skin. And when you cook goose, the fat drains into the bird, so it doesn't end up dry.
We found, talking to some butchers in Lincoln, that people are ordering their turkeys like 6 months in advance. Have you had people like that at all come to you, you know, really well in advance in preparation for Christmas?
We get some people that will order, a Christmas ahead, in effect, so that they'll come back to us after Christmas in January and say, oh, your turkey was lovely, or your goose is lovely, can we order another one for next year? Our biggest trouble is to remember that's what they've done and mark it down in the book that it's an order.
So it's not a fact of money, it's a fact that they've really enjoyed your product and, you know, they think, well, why we remember, we're going to order it now?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, our product is a little bit more expensive. It's done in a traditional form. Everything that we do is free range. All the birds are dry plucked and all the processing is done on farm. But people are finding now, I think, that they're not too worried about... They're worried about expense, but they also worry about quality as well. And so they're also looking for good value, which we try to provide by producing a good product. Might be a little bit more expensive than the supermarket product, so that it's not a last-minute rush. So really plan ahead.
And what will you be having for your Christmas dinner? What bird do you go for?
I'm not sure yet. I think we're on for a goose this year. We're a smaller party. There's only the small amount of the family this year, so a goose will suit us. And at the end of the day, we don't produce geese and turkeys for everyone else to then go and buy a joint of beef.
My name's Rosella. I'm from Oaky Cocoa Chocolate Alchemy, and we make infused chocolate bars and chocolate truffles, chocolate gifts.
And why are you here at the Epic Centre today?
I'm here at the Epic Centre today to promote my chocolates and sell people really tasty gifts for Christmas. I've got a special Christmas range which I've got here today with lots of Christmas flavours, and they're there for people to buy for Christmas.
It must be something if you're in charge of a chocolate company that you go, woo, Christmas. Think of all the presents and the flavours you can do.
Well, I actually started making chocolates because of Christmas. So I didn't have any money 1 year, so I decided to make chocolates for people, for my friends and family, for Christmas instead. It ended up costing me more money than if I'd have just bought them gifts, but I loved it so much that I carried on doing it and learnt more about it and got really geeky with it and really into the technical, sciencey side of it, and it's all gone from there, really. So I've got quite a bit of a tie for Christmas in how I got started anyway. So, and I love the Christmas flavours that I've got this year are actually my favourite flavours, so I really wish I could carry them on all year, but it's gingerbread. It's definitely a Christmas flavour.
My name's Donna Moden, and I'm from Moden's Lincolnship Unbred, and we're from Spilsby in Lincolnshire.
And so why are you here at the Epic Centre today?
To promote our product. It's a recipe that's been in our family since 1936. My husband's grandfather developed the recipe. So we're here to try and get ourselves out there and get people to come and taste it. And it's just nice to keep up the tradition as well.
And so what's particularly sort of Christmassy about plum bread?
I just think it goes very well with cheese. Everybody tends to eat cheese at Christmas, and it goes very nice on a cheese board. We did enter it into the Lincolnshire Poacher competition this year, and we won a gold for it. And also, Colin, we brought that out for the first time this year, and we entered the bread into the same competition, and won a gold with that as well. So really pleased with it, yes.
What is in a Lincolnshire plum bread? For people who are maybe new to the county and are new to Lincoln, what's in it and why is it special?
Well, people tend to think Lincolnshire plum bread, there's plums in there. But years ago when they used to rehydrate the fruit, the term for doing that was called plumbing, to plump up the fruit. So there isn't actually plums in there. We put soft sultanas and raisins in ours. Some people, you know, like currants or things like that, so it all depends on people's palate as to what they prefer.
Yeah, you've got the Schollen, and you mentioned that it picked up a gold. It's typically and traditionally a German thing. Why have it here in Lincolnshire?
Well, my husband's just passionate about German products. He just loves the flavour of cinnamon, and we do like speculoos biscuits, so he likes inventing things, and so he just gave it a go this year to see what it would do, and it's just so nice because we're selling quite a few of them as well.
And that was Sam Perdue and I at the Christmas Food and Gift Fair, which took place at the Epic Centre last weekend, and we'll be hearing more from that later in the show.
This is Siren FM.
You are listening to Food for Thought here on Siren 107.3 FM. Now, Wagamama's invited Food for Thought to try out their new restaurant in Lincoln. Now, Wagamama's is a sort of Japanese-themed restaurant, which is along the Brayford. And unfortunately, at the moment, it's not in the best shape because of the recent rain. But we went last week. I went with Siren FM's Jonathan Cresswell. He came along with me to try out the food. Now, I've been to Wagamama's once before in Nottingham, but that was a couple of years ago. But you sort of tried it all out.
Yeah, Lincoln is the first time I've been to a Wagamama's. I've got friends who have gone there speak very highly of it, but this was my first time, first experience. And if you don't know what you're getting into, it is a bit different to what you'd expect from a restaurant, particularly really how they seat you.
Yes, I've come up with the term Tetrising, which I think covers it quite nicely. What happens is that they have tables set out, and if you're a big group of people, then they will put you eight people on an eight-person table. If you're two people, you're more than likely to be sort of put on the corner with a load of other people, which is actually quite nice. You think it would be really awkward. And it is for the first sort of few seconds, because everyone does that sort of quite British thing of bunching up and making sure that you don't touch one another and things like that. But after a while, you just get kind of quite used to it. And actually, they were really nice with us, because there was we were at this table for eight people, and 11 people tried to come and join us. So that would have been 13 people at a table that was far too small for us. And so they actually came along and offered to move us to a place that was more suitable for us, so that everyone could be a bit more relaxed and a bit more comfortable.
So when you get past that and you get into it, it's very nice. The building itself, if you've not seen it along the Brayford, it's very striking. And it's got this really nice look, loads of windows, which, okay, in the winter at night you don't see as much, but it's got a really nice airy feel to it. And although it's quite a small space, because you're on the Brayford, you can't build that much big on the Brayford, it doesn't feel too cramped.
No, there is a point of, we went in the evening, if you go in the evening, do expect to have to wait a little bit, because it's really, really popular at the moment.
Yeah, it's only just opened, and they were saying it's been one of the most busy outside London in the country.
Yes, so you can expect to it, and people sort of bunch around the entrance. But once you're in and you're seated, it's all absolutely lovely. So the food that we had, for drinks, I had green tea, which was free, and I'm a big fan of green tea. I quite like all these different teas, so that was quite nice. You tried, was it a Japanese beer?
Yes, Asahi, which is a standard beer you'd get at a place like that, and very nice.
And then we also had a starter of, I think it was gyoza, these kind of steamed chicken and vegetable dumpling type things, which I thought were, they have a sort of slightly strange texture because they're steamed, but they're really nice flavours inside. My main meal that I had was something called a ginger chicken udon, which udon is really thick noodles, so you're probably quite used to having the noodles that are sort of yellow and quite medium sized. These ones are kind of white and thicker, and it was really, really lovely. The chicken was nice. I thought that the ginger might be a bit overpowering, but actually it was really nice and it really complemented it. And so what did you have, John?
Yes, I went for a chicken teriyaki, which came in sort of a big, massive bowl. Then you've got rice at the bottom, then you've got chicken, then you've got some salad and some carrots on top. So you're not really sure how you go about it at first, because it's just, oh, it's in a bowl. But really nice flavours in it, and there's enough sort of sauce and moisture in the teriyaki on the chicken, so that would go through enough the rice, which was really a bit sticky, but in a good way. Nice and fluffy, really light, and so that came together fantastically, and I really like that. I've also been one other time in which I had a curry there, and I was asking for advice from friends on, should I go for that? What's it going to be like? And it's like, don't worry about it being too hot and spicy. Think more chip shop curry. Not in a bad way, that is. It's that sort of texture and...
Not particularly.
And not hot. It's a little
spicy.
A little
yeah.
bit of spice to it, and you taste that. But that is very good, and I really recommend that, and I think it was my favourite thing I've had there.
Excellent. And we also were a bit daring and tried some of the puddings. Now, the puddings are slightly different because their puddings tend to have a bit of a kick. And so I had the chocolate fudge cake, which came with wasabi sauce. And so I wasn't entirely sure how it would go. I thought it might have a bit of a flavour that wasn't the best because, you know, chocolate fudge cake is a good cake.
You can't go wrong with it. Yeah.
Exactly. But actually, it was really nice. It was a really light chocolate fudge cake, which I think was the thing that I found most different about it, because you tend to find that chocolate cake is a really heavy...
Yeah, it wasn't too heavy, this one.
But it was really light, and it did come with a little bit of a kick, but it wasn't particularly overpowering. It didn't... It sort of complemented it in a strange way, but it was really nice. It was really nice service, and I think we have to do a little shout-out to our waiter, who was particularly lovely. He's called Tiny Dog.
Yes, but he is campaigning for his name badge to be changed to Big Dog, and specifically asked us to mention it, so here it is.
There you go. If you happen to be in Wagamama's and you find Tiny Dog, then, you know, mention... Go with
say,
the campaign.
Say we've supported the campaign.
Exactly. And in comparison to on other restaurants that are nearby, because it's on the Brayford, that's where all the main restaurants and the sort of chains of restaurants are in Lincoln. I think price-wise,
it's on a par with everything there. It's sort of what you expect from that area. I think price for the amount of food you get, yeah, good value. You're looking about, what, £8 to £10 per dish.
Yeah.
And so for that amount, you're getting good-sized portions, and so very happy with that. And it's nice to see something that isn't Italian down there, actually, more than anything, and get some variety in that area. Their sort of focus there, it's fresh, it's made ridiculously quickly. And vegetables, you can take... Yeah, you can taste this. Tastes great because they are that fresh, and
that's the other thing that is a bit, if you're very used to eating in English restaurants and British restaurants, what they do recommend is, because the food is fresh, that the minute it's served to you, you start eating. So
don't be polite.
Yeah, the polite thing that you do in Britain is, if you haven't got, if not all the people that you're eating with haven't got their food yet, then you shouldn't start eating. But that's kind of the opposite of what you're supposed to do in Wagamama's. So there's just a few things that you have to kind of go with in Wagamama's. But no, overall, absolutely lovely experience. And if you want something different, then try Wagamama's.
And other recommendation, try lunchtime, which is when I went another time. A bit quieter. You get nice views from upstairs particularly. And so it was a very good place to go.
On 107.3 FM, this is Siren FM.
Now, earlier in the show, Sam Perdue and I were finding out about the local alternatives for Christmas food in Lincolnshire. We've already found out about the birds that you can get in Lincolnshire, the plum bread, as well as some lovely chocolate presents. So now we're going to be finding out about the cheeses that you could get for your cheese board at Christmas.
Lincolnshire poacher, mixed slowly.
I think the biggest issue as far as the cheese is concerned, and this is local produce made on the farm, and, you know, readily available through the farmers' markets locally. And people know exactly what it is they're getting. So, it seems to be a formula that works.
Cheese is such a big aspect of Christmas, along with lots of other foods. You know, why do people go for these nice traditional things at Christmas, do you think?
Well, I think you've summed it up in your question, really. It is traditional to do that. I mean, people have a very fixed idea of their eating habits, and the cheese board is as important as maybe the wine or the other after dinner drinks. So, you know, you're actually catering to people's traditions, and that, you know, that seems to work well at Christmas especially.
What kind of cheeses would you say are best then for Christmas?
Well, you've got to cater to people's individual needs. One of the biggest things a poacher can do is cater with different strengths across the range. Of course, you've got your people that like your blue cheeses, and we do carry on the stalls lots of guest cheeses that will cater for the individual taste.
I suppose cheese can also work as a Christmas present, can't it?
Well, very much so, and as you'll see from round the stall here, the hampers are particularly popular this time of year as an ideal gift. So by catering for different sizes of hampers and different requirements from people, you know, you can cover that sort of need.
Well, I'm Ron, and our company is Maron Wine, Cider and Liqueurs, and it does exactly what it says. We make wine, ciders and liqueurs, and we do that in Lincolnshire and in Harrogate in Yorkshire.
And so what are you doing here today at the Epic Centre?
Well, hoping to introduce people to our new product, which is chocolate wine. We have a red, a white and a rosé version, alongside our ciders and our 27 different liqueurs.
And so how do you make chocolate wine?
Well, it isn't easy. It took us 6 months to come up with the recipe, but effectively it's a blend of wine with extracts from the cocoa bean, which are intensely flavoured with chocolate, but also extremely bitter. So we do have to sweeten it to a certain extent to get the balance right. I think we have after 6 months, but you'll have to try it to see for yourself.
And is this something that you think will go down particularly well for Christmas?
I think it's the ideal Christmas drink. The rosé chilled is a really lovely aperitif. The white chocolate wine, very much as a problem with the Christmas pudding, as it's a sweet dessert wine. And the red, it's reminiscent of a light port. You'd have it at the end of the meal, perhaps, in about the same glass as a port glass. Yes, every stage of the meal, there's something there.
And that was Sam Perdue and I talking to local food suppliers in Lincolnshire who are getting ready for Christmas. And this is all a tease in preparation for Food for Thought's Christmas special, where I'll be planning and finding out about the different food that you'll need over the festive period. But that's going to be in December, so don't worry, there'll be no more Christmas for a couple more weeks here. Of course, if you want to find out more about the show, then you can just head to sarahandoline.co.uk and click on Food for Thought. There you can find previous episodes and previous recipes that we've had on the show. And also you can find out how to get in touch with me there. I would love to know recipes that you think the listeners of Siren FM should be trying out. If you've got any Christmas tips in anticipation for my Christmas special, or any local restaurants and cafes that you think should be profiled here on the show, then just let me know by emailing me. But to end the show this week, this is David Bowie with Fame. I'll be back at the same time next week. Bye-bye.